Everybody wants to do sadhana. Everybody wants to evolve spiritually. But they say, I don't have time to do sadhana. I don't have time to do all these practices, spiritual practices. I don't have time to do puja. I don't have time to meditate. I don't have time to learn. Maybe we'll learn after we retire. Maybe Bhagavad Gita I'll learn after I retire. But is spirituality an activity? Is sadhana truly an activity? Yes, puja, if you want to sit down, that's an activity. If you want to do service, that's an activity. You want to meditate. But if I want to be good, is goodness an activity? Do I pick a time? Okay, Monday morning from 9 to 11, I'll be good. No. Or kindness, or love, or unselfishness, or sacrifice. These are not activities. These are not specific time-bound. This is not assigned. I have to change my way of thinking. I have to change the way I deal with the world. So that goodness should not only be when I'm in the temple or when I'm in the church or mosque, but goodness should be at home. Goodness should be practiced at work, in all my relationships, in all my friendships. Unselfishness, kindness. So the Bhagavad Gita teaches us these values. Sri Krishna teaches us these values which are to be applied in our daily life. And those who apply these values are considered spiritual people, are considered saints, are considered evolved. And those who do not apply these values, those who do not practice them, that's why Sri Krishna calls this chapter Dev Asur Sampad Vibhag Yogaha. He says this world can be divided into two kinds of people, Devas and Asuras. The first three verses of the 16th chapter gives us the values of Devas. People who are kind, who are compassionate, who are loving. How do they practice this value? It starts with Abhayam Sattva Samshuddhihi Jnana Yoga Vyavasthitihi. So these people have fearlessness. They have purity of heart. They are established in the knowledge. So the first three verses talk about the Devas, about the good people, the people who are spiritual. The remaining, the entire rest of the chapter deals with people whom he calls as Asuras. Asuras does not mean the demons, you know, with the, you know, with all those big face and, you know, having horns and all. These are people who do not practice spiritual values, how they live in the world. And Swami Chinmayananda says that all of us or most of us come in the second category. We know what are the values, but we are not able to practice them. I know I should be honest. I know I should not get angry. I know I should love everybody. I know I should sacrifice. I know I should be unselfish, but I am unable to practice. So in this chapter, Sri Krishna spends a lot of time talking about the people who do not practice these values, so that I should look at it and say, if I have any of these qualities, maybe I should not do that. Also, I'll just quickly go over this BMI chart. There are a lot of new people today, so I'll just very quickly go over that. This BMI chart was made by Swami Chinmayananda Ji, our founder. And BMI stands for body, mind, and intellect. With the body, I become a perceiver of objects. With the mind, I am a feeler of emotions. And with my intellect, I think the thoughts. So this is my BMI. This is who I am. We are the vasanas or the tendencies which drive us. And Om represents God. God is in every one of us. You can call him Krishna, Shiva, Jesus, Father in heaven. Here it is represented as Om. So this is the chart that we use from time to time. So today we will do verse number 15, where we continue the qualities of these people who do not practice these values, people like us. So verse number 15. Aryo bhijanavan asmi. Konyosti sadrisho maya.
Konyosti sadrisho maya.
यक्ष्ये दास्यामि मोदिष्ये,
यक्ष्ये दास्यामि मोदिष्ये,
इत्यज्ञान विमोहिताः,
इत्यज्ञान विमोहिताः.
So this person who is not practicing these values, and majority of the world we find are fall in this category, he says, Asmi, who am I? Adyah, I am rich. I am filthy rich. That's why they use the word filthy rich. He says, I am rich. And Abhijanvan Asmi, and I am of a high birth. I belong to a high caste. I am a Brahmin. Or I belong to a high family. You know, our family has a lot of हमारे खानदान की तो यहाँ बड़ी इज्जत है. You know, we are very much in this family, in this town, my family is very respected. Everybody knows us. Everybody knows my family. I am of a high family. Ka anya asti sadrisho maya. And who is like me? Anya, like me, asti. Who is like me in this whole town, in this whole world? There is nobody like me. In this whole country, I am the best, I am the greatest. That is what they say. And what do such people do? He says, Yakshe, I will do sacrifices, I will do rituals. But for what purpose? We'll talk about that. Yakshe Dasyami, I will do charity also, but again, for a specific purpose. And Modishye, I will enjoy, I'll have fun. Iti agnana vimohitaha, they are deluded with this ignorance. So let us spend a little time dealing with each word. So first word is adhya, I am rich. That's why they use the word I am filthy rich. Filthy, why? Because they smell of their wealth, smells, because it is acquired in an unlawful way, got money illegally or got money by wrong means. And their whole purpose in life is to earn money. Money is useful, is necessary. We need money for a house, for food, for education, for our retirement. But when money becomes the goal, see, money can be a means to acquire things, to make ourselves happy. But when money itself becomes the goal, then this person's whole life is how I can earn the maximum, how I can cheat others, how I can acquire money with any means possible. And just accumulation itself becomes the goal. Money is no longer a means, money becomes the goal, and my whole life is developed. And what happens with these people? The money just stays, it does not circulate. That's why they say money should circulate. Just like food, you eat food and then it just stays in you and you don't excrete it. What's going to happen? And after a while, you'll get sick. In fact, their whole body starts smelling. It's a true incident, I'm not joking. This Wednesday, a patient came to me and he said, Doctor, I have a serious problem. I said, what? He said, I pass a lot of gas. I know it's not a pleasant topic, but that's what I deal with. I'm a gastroenterologist. And he says, my wife actually doesn't want to sleep with me because every night, he says, after 42 years of marriage, now she doesn't want to sleep in the same bed as me because she says the smell is intolerable. And so, you know, so what I'm saying is that thing, if you put it in and you do not circulate, it starts smelling, or like water. You know, if there's a river flowing, the water remains clean. But if the water accumulates in a pond and doesn't go anywhere, after a while, if there is no water circulation, it becomes green and moss grows. So money should circulate. It should help others. Gurudev Swami Chinmayananda says, money can only give you pleasure when it is used to help others. It not only gives pleasure to us, but it gives pleasure to all. And as it circulates, you will find that it's a wonderful means to help the world, to serve the world. Money should be a means to get happiness. Money should not provide happiness. Money should not become happiness. But what happens, we find with these people, their whole life, morning to night, they are working. They don't have time to eat. They don't have time to take care of their health. They don't have time to go to the doctor. They say, what are you earning money for? You don't even have time to enjoy that. You know, they don't take vacations. They don't enjoy. They neglect their families. You know, people are working so hard, and I have a friend of mine who says, all my young ages I worked so hard, and he has three boys, now they're all grown up. He says, they don't even know me, and I don't know them. Why? Because when I was young, when they were little, I never had time for them. He had some motels, and he had a job, and he had businesses, and he's very rich, but his children, he doesn't even know them. This reminds me of a beautiful story. There was this man, Muniji told it, I think some of you listened to him. It's a beautiful, wonderful story. So this man had a huge store, and he used to work very hard. Morning to night, he will be working in the store. Very rich, very, very successful store, and big, like a department. But he used to himself stay on the cash register because he didn't trust anybody. And so all the money had to go through him. So one day he was sitting in the cash register. Store was crowded. It was pre-Christmas. And there was a line of people waiting to pay. And he was very happy. Today the business is very good. And suddenly he had a lot of servants. Obviously he had a big house, a lot of servants. So one servant comes running. Sir, sir. He said, what? He said, sir, your house is on fire. He said, really? He says, yeah. He said, have you called the fire brigade? He says, yeah, we have called the fire engines. But everything is burning. We might not be able to save anything. He said, well, you know, he thought, either I go and run and save the store, and what will happen to all these customers if I go and try to save my house? He said, don't worry, my house is insured. So it's okay. You know, if it burns, well, I'll get money from the insurance company. Then you can't, you see, I'm very busy. After a while, the second servant comes. Sir, sir, your house is on fire. He says, yeah, I told the other guy not to worry. He said, no, your wife is trapped inside and she might not be able to come out. We need to go save her. He thinks for a while and says, don't worry, I have life insurance for her too. So that is the attitude of these people. For them, everything is secondary, whether it's wife, whether it's children. So that's what they say, that let us use the money to serve the world. The next word he uses is, Abhijanavan asmi, I am of a high birth, I am of a high family, I am of a high class. And they look down on people who are of the lower class. And this classism is there everywhere. It may not be organized into four, but it is everywhere. A person who is wealthy will look down on somebody who is not, you know, and or I am born of great family. You know, my family, we have, in generations, we have been here. I have donated so much money to the university. My family has a name in, you know, building in UCLA. And it's interesting, not only people get proud, but we also, promote this culture, that person from a particular family. Like in this country, if you are a Bush or you are a Kennedy, no matter, you may be the biggest duffer, but you can become elected president. Oh, really? Or in India, if you belong to the Nehru family, if your last name is Nehru or Gandhi, you may be totally unqualified, but you are automatically chosen leader of the Congress party, prime minister. Or if you are an industrialist or a businessman, your son may be the absolute, you know, drunkard, alcoholic, but he will inherit the company. Or nowadays in India, we find film stars. Mm-hmm. You know, if you are a film star, your son automatically gets the hero's role, whether he's... So the point is that even the society propagates this idea that some families are superior and some are inferior. So that's what promotes this sense of pride and arrogance and ego. And that's what these people believe in. You know, I am somebody great. And they look down on others. And that promotes a culture of arrogance and violence. You know, I am great, and anybody who interferes in me should be destroyed, should be finished. And that idea that I am great, unfortunately, they get it, and then the whole society starts thinking them like Alexander. You know, we all consider him Alexander the Great. There was a great, you know, that attached to him. I'll tell you this story, how great he was. This is a true story. Alexander was, you know, conquering India. He had attacked India, and he had a, you know, powerful army, you know, with all the soldiers and all. And he had attacked a small town. And his soldiers were, you know, fighting with the Indian soldiers. And it so happened that he was on a horse, and one of the Indian soldiers happened to unseat Alexander from his horse. He just pushed him, so he fell down from the horse. He didn't get hurt, he didn't get killed, But he was pushed down. Immediately his soldiers put him back on the horse and they caught this man and killed him. Now Alexander was so angry, he said that, how dare this guy unseat me from my horse? He gave his orders to his army. He said, not a single woman, child, nobody should be left alive. In that town, not a single person was left alive. Once they conquered, normally you conquer the town and just control it. But he made sure every woman, child, every old person, everybody was killed because one person dared to unseat him from his horse. Not he didn't even get hurt. So that is the kind of culture these people develop, that anybody who opposes me should be finished, should be destroyed. That's why he says, abhi janavan asmi, kaha anya asti sadrisho maya. Who is there as great as I am? Who is there as powerful as I am? So this false sense of ego they get. Then he says, yakshe dasyami. I'll do sacrifices. They do sacrifices, they do rituals, and they do charity. You know, they will organize big yagnas or they will do charity. But for what? For show. Like even if they are going to make a donation, they'll call all the media, the newspaper, and then they'll give a check to the guy. And they're not looking at the person they're giving the check to. They're looking at the camera. So everybody should know, you know, what a great dani I am. How wonderful I, you know, it is, I mean, in a way, sometimes it inspires others. That is good. Sometimes, you know, if you give charity to a university or a hospital and they put your name, that way maybe it inspires others. But a lot of times, this motive of these people is to show off. That, you know, look how great I am, how you know, charitable I am. Or they will do elaborate rituals. Again, not because they believe in God, but to show off to the community, you know, how much money I can spend. Or through the rituals, they think they can bribe God. You know, by doing this prayer, my business will double, or my son will get a job, or I'll become more powerful. Or otherwise, either they do it for show, or they do charity to undeserving causes. You know what they will do? There is an election going on, so the guy who is likely to win, they will send him a purse, you know, of $1 million or you know, make a donation to his you know, pack or whatever. Or in India, they just directly give cash. Why? So that this, when this person wins, then what will happen? Then I'll get a contract, I'll get a job, I'll get a business. So their charity is not done so that through this I can help the world or I can help people. It is how I can become more famous. I can become even more powerful. I can become even more rich. So their whole purpose in life is to acquire more. And through this, that's what they say, that when you do charity, even your left hand should not know what your right hand has done. So the point is that even in the Bhagavad Gita, Sri Krishna says that there are three kinds of danam. One is a sattvic dan, which is done anonymously or without any idea of self-aggrandizement. The charity is done to the deserving candidates, to the right kind of organization, and in plenty. That is called sattvic dan. Rajasic dan is what most people practice, where the dan is done for increasing my power, for making me more famous. And then the tamasic dan, which is the lowest kind, is given by insulting somebody. Like a beggar comes and you give him money and say, bhag jaa idhar se, you know, you are worthless, you are useless. So you humiliate somebody or make them feel inferior and give them charity. Or a lot of times charity given to the wrong person, like there is a drug addict or an alcoholic walking the streets and you give him $20 because he's holding a sign. But if he goes and then uses that money for drug or alcohol, that is called tamasic dan. So they do the charity, why? So they can buy friends. See, they say they don't do it to help others. They can buy friends so that by this way, this person will be indebted to me and then I can use him. But the point is that people who become friends for money, they will only stay with you as long as you have money. Like we find in the sports stars, especially in this country, you know, they sign contracts worth millions of dollars. They're 20, 21, 22-year-old football players. And then all of a sudden, they have all this money. They don't know what to do with it. They start spending on, you know, women, wine, you know. And then they develop a bunch of friends, hangers-on, you know. In India, we call them chamchas. And they hang on, and they come with them. And then soon as this guy, either he breaks his leg or loses his contract or his money is gone, they disappear. In Shankaracharya very beautifully says in Bhaj Govindam, Yavad Vito Parjana Sakta, Tavad Nich Parivaro Ratta, Pascha Jivati Jarjar Gehe, Vartam Kopi Na Prichati Gehe. He says, as long as you have money or the ability to earn money, people will be very nice to you. People will be with you. But the moment your money goes or your ability to earn goes, even you may have money, but once you become old and you jarjar gehe, then you say, this guy is old. Vartam kopi na prichati gehe. Nobody wants to talk to him. The old person in the house is kept in one corner and everybody ignores them. Only at the mealtime they are talked to. And so he says, what should I do? He says, Bhaj Govindam, Bhaj Govindam, Bhaj Govindam Mood Mate. He says, oh fool, look for Govind, seek Govind. You know, don't spend your whole time in just with people and things and all. Ultimately, the only one friend who will stay with you is the Lord himself. Bhagwan is the only one, the Lord who is the one who will stay with you. Seek him, and once you have him, then you don't need anybody else. If somebody is a friend with you, fine. And if they don't stay with you, you are still fine. So that is what they say, that if you want to seek friends, seek them in him. Because the Lord is an unselfish friend, is always with you, always take ready to take care of you, will never leave you. Whether you have money or not, what the Lord looks at is the heart. He doesn't look at your financial status. He doesn't look at your family, which family you were born to. He doesn't look at whether you are beautiful or ugly. It is the beauty of the heart. And that is what we need to develop. That is what this shloka is telling us, that do not have those qualities. Do not be deluded. Do not be totally misinformed. And in the Puranas, we have so many stories. You know, as you, those of you know the Puranas, you look at the story of Ravan. He was so educated, so wise, but he got deluded because of wealth, because of power. Ultimately, it led to his downfall. Look at Kams. Look at Hiranyakashyapu. You know, how great, how much power he had. And then they lose it all. Because why? Because they start committing atrocities. They become arrogant. They become proud. And so that is the essence of this verse, that let me make my life a life of service. Let me try to make this world a better place. And let me be grateful to the Lord. Whatever I have been given, whatever family I have been born, whatever skills I have, whatever wealth I have, it is his gift to me. And let me use this for the service of mankind. So that is the essence of this beautiful verse. We'll continue next week. Today we have Ganesh Chaturthi. We are celebrating Ganesh Chaturthi. So we'll have puja in the main hall. Usually for the new people, usually we do two verses every week. But today we'll only do one verse. And then we'll be going in the main hall for doing Ganesh puja. And then of course we'll have lunch for all. Any questions or comments about any of these points?
How would you know that person is really a needy person? You know, you would be offering
right
your daan for the goodness, but that person, he or she does good thing or bad things. I mean, does it come to you?
I think it is, we are obligated to inquire, to know. And so better they say, if you want to really feed him, get him some food.
Yes.
You know, get him a McDonald's, some food. Or if he says, I'm hungry, and if you give him, he actually won't want it. They actually want money. If you give him, or feed, take money to the homeless shelter. See, there are homeless shelters, and they need money. You can support them. Or there is that feeding, you know, where they feed the homeless every day. It's out on East Bakersfield, you know, Niles and that side. So you can donate money, or a lot of organizations, one day a year or 2 days a year, You can sign up ahead of time. And so actually we have done that also 2 or 3 times. And you sign up there. You don't cook the food. You just pay $150 or $200. And then you go and serve. And so you can serve. And you will find there are 200, 300, 400 people sometimes walk through. And when you give them food, that is very satisfying. You actually, and you know, they of course will cook non-vegetarian food and also, you know, but you can maybe serve them bread or water or whatever. And so you can be part of that. And so they welcome opportunities like that. Also, if you have no particular organizations that do this kind of work, they're like, there are organizations that take care of battered women, you know, women that are beaten by their husbands, or there are children who have no place to go. So support such like Maitri, you know, thing, organizations like that. I think there you will be, you can be sure that your money is properly used. I mean, once in a while, if you find somebody really handicapped and hurting, it's okay to give him $20 and all. But if you're going to systematically support, pick good organizations where you are sure that the money is properly used. Again, it will help more people that way, instead of this one guy just using it on drugs or alcohol. I was told, I don't know if it's true or not, but one of these guys, somebody told me after he had finished, you know, with the sign, a BMW came and picked him up. Someone really told me that he was picked up in a BMW. So you really don't know. And that's why it is important to investigate before you help.
And so, you don't know what is right, what is wrong, but right. At the time when you see such a person, at the moment, that is good to contribute to the organizations that you know very well.
Yes. Yeah, I think if you really in your heart feel that like giving it is okay, go ahead and give it. And then it is his, up to him. There's nothing wrong with that. But generally, they say daan should be, you should discriminate. You should know where you are giving, especially if you're going to give large sums of money. It should be done carefully. Yes. But that's a good point. Thank you. Yeah.
And they say, no, we are the good people because we worship a lot.
Right. These are actually very good questions. Thank you for asking. So there are two categories. We talk about Deva and the Asuras. But before, when we started the 16th chapter, they had mentioned a category called Rakshasa, which are the third category, who are even beyond help, who are like, you know, the, you know, drug dealers, drug addicts, the, you know, absolute criminals. Such people, Sri Krishna doesn't address them because he says such people, they will be only taken care of by their karmas. See, their karmas are so bad, like these mass murderers and, you know, these people who kill thousands and all. So what happens is their law of karma will take care of them. They will be punished to such an extent that they will be forced to improve in their next life. So those people, reading Bhagavad Gita is not for them. Bhagavad Gita is for people like us who are asuras. We know what is right, but we are not able to practice. So the third category, the Rakshasas, he does not even address. And your second question about people who practice, you know, who pray in the temple and they think they are superior. But if that's why reading the Bhagavad Gita is very essential, because it teaches us how to practice those values. Praying is good. It's better that he spends an hour in the temple praying than he spends an hour in gambling or drinking. You know, that is good. But then if the prayer does not translate into good actions, then obviously, you know, that person's prayer is incomplete. Because he says, oh Lord, you have created me. Thank you. But the Lord has created everybody else. So they are all my brothers and sisters. Tulsidas ji in Ramayana says very beautifully, he says, Siya Ram mai sab jag jani, karahu pranam jori jugbani. He says, I see Sita and Ram in all beings. All women are Sita and all men are Ram. And everybody I meet, I bow down with folded hands. So if you can see the world as the Lord, then only your puja is complete. Otherwise, your puja is incomplete. You have done the prayer, but then, if, like you said, if you come out and cheat the people, or if you are mean to, you know, you should see Sita in your wife, or in Ram in your husband, or in your neighbor, or in your brother-in-law. You know, anywhere, you know, Saas. I mean, you know, these are the relationships where we have problems. And if you can see the Lord in every one of them, then only. Then every activity becomes a prayer. As I said in the beginning, spirituality is not only to be done in the temple. It has to be done in the marketplace, you know, in your business, in your dealings with people. So yeah, that is a very good point. Thank you. Well, I think in the long run, though, these people have problem. What happens is they get so used to, accustomed to lying and cheating others that they think it becomes normal. So it's like they kill their conscience. But the law of karma, they cannot escape. Armstrong ultimately did get caught. And ultimately everything, you know, became shamed. So sooner or later, these people do suffer. And I think what they mean by people who do not lie to themselves, they are aware that I have these shortcomings. And maybe they may go into depression, but then being aware that I have this shortcoming is the first step to improving. See, if you don't even know that I'm doing anything wrong, if your mind is so brainwashed that it's okay to lie and cheat and everything is fine, then you will never improve. But if you know that what you're doing is wrong, temporarily you may be depressed or maybe sorrowful, but then ultimately you will improve. So knowing that I'm wrong is the first step to improving. Yeah, I think that's because it becomes a second nature to them to lie. So they lie to themselves, they lie to the world. But ultimately, you know, he knew what he was doing was wrong. That's why, see, anything you do in wrong, you'd hide it. If you're doing the truth, you don't need to hide. You can do it in the daylight. Anything that is done wrong is usually done in the middle of the night or secretly, like he was taking that blood transfusion at night, not in front of everybody. So, you know, we all know what is right and what is wrong. It is just that we are not able to practice.
Was on the wrong side. Eventually, that's what came up.
Right. Okay. Thank you very much. We have to end the class. Let us all go into the main hall. They are doing Ganesh Puja. And then we'll have lunch. We also need lunch sponsors. So if you are able to sponsor a lunch, because the lunch is offered free every Sunday. So if there is a sign-up sheet in the office, any Sunday you can help. You know, even you don't have to pay the whole amount. Usually two or three families can get together. If it's your child's birthday or anniversary, or you know your father or grandfather in his memory, so you can offer lunch. You can sign up in the office, and please stay for lunch afterwards. Thank you very much. Hari Om. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinah, Sarve Santu Niramayah, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu. मा कश्चित् दुःख भाग् भवेत् ओम शांति 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 हरि ओम श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम